Your brothers and sisters, good morning. I'm going to remind you of something that you already know, and that is, before I entered seminary, I was a real ladies' man. Basically a Lothario, a Don Juan, as it were. As I would walk down the street, women would swoon and faint down the street corners. It was amazing to see. And I thought that from that fullness of experience and talent, which of course still emanates from me today, I thought I would share some dating advice with you. Because, you know, we all need to learn how to go on dates better, okay? So here's my dating advice for you guys. When you go out on a date, make sure, if you want it to be a successful date, make sure that you talk about yourself much more than you ever listen to your date. That's number one. That's a very important rule, okay? Number two is make sure that throughout the date, you make sure that your date pays for everything, does everything you ask, answers all of your questions immediately in a way that's pleasing to you. And if they don't, then it's time to end the date. You know, I mean, obviously you can't be with somebody who doesn't gratify your every desire immediately. Why would you even date someone? I mean, what's the point, right? Number three, if they start to try and talk about themselves, make sure that you immediately change what they're saying so that it's something relevant to you. And if at all possible, try to trump what they're saying with something that you have because you're better than them. All right, I just want you to know that, you know, people really love that. They appreciate that profoundly. And lastly, and I think this is most important, realize that the point of a relationship is to get everything you want, and the other person just exists to do that for you. Have you all followed those dating rules yet? I mean, I see some happily married couples here, so they must have followed those dating rules, right, whenever they've gone through courtship. Obviously, you know. Okay, I've done enough counseling to know better. I hope you know. Let's put it that way. I hope you know that is not good dating advice. Okay. That is, in fact, terrible advice on how to date. It's the exact opposite of what you should do when you date. And yet, how often it's exactly the way we pray. Concerned only about ourselves and our struggles. Perpetually asking God for things as if he's the waiter at our table. Taking every verse of scripture and trying to make it immediately relevant to how it applies to my life. Disliking any homily that isn't immediately personal to me. We know it's a bad way to treat a human being we want a relationship with, but we default to it whenever we try to have a relationship with God. Throughout this Advent season, we've been talking about God's beauty and about the beginnings of contemplation, and we're going to talk more about that today. But I wanted to state something pretty clearly that I had not yet really put into words clearly for y'all. Before Advent, we talked about the Our Father, which was the measure of all the ways that we were to ask God for things. And that's very important. It is very important to know that we need to ask God for things and how to ask God for things well. But our prayer cannot be a simple wish list every time we go in the chapel or in the church or in our room. It cannot be simply, Lord, I'm struggling with this. Lord, I need to pray for this person. Lord, I need you to fix this problem in the world. Lord, I'd like this to happen. Lord, I want you to help me overcome this sin. It's important. It can't be the only kind of way we pray. Because if we treated any human being like that, we would know how incredibly self-absorbed it is. And so matching that level of petition, of trust in God, of making our needs known to Him because we trust Him, there has to also be a movement of appreciation, of adoration, of receptivity, of love when we pray, of listening. And a lot of people don't understand what it means to listen in prayer. They say, Father, I try to listen all the time, I never hear anything. That's not what we're getting at. It's about turning our focus to Him instead of being caught up constantly in ourselves. And yes, sometimes He'll speak to us. But that disposition of just turning our attention to Him, reflecting on what He says, reflecting on what He tries to teach us, as opposed to our own needs and concerns, is important. And that's the movement of contemplation. So last weekend, as you may recall, if you were here, we talked about artistic and natural beauty, and learning to appreciate artistic and natural beauty as a preparation for this kind of prayer. And I said, it wasn't essential, it's very important, it wasn't essential, but it teaches us all the habits that we need, because if you deal with natural beauty or artistic beauty in any real way, you know that you can't approach it and just say, give me gratification now or I walk. It requires an actual focus and an actual, as we hear today in the second reading, I'll come back to this, an actual patience. But today we move to supernatural contemplation, which is not optional, is required of all of us in the spiritual life. And there are two levels to this, according to the great work, The Cloud of Unknowing. The lower form of contemplation, the higher form of contemplation. I'll talk about the higher form next weekend. The lower form is what we would call, many of us would call, meditation. And it is what we kind of get an image of today in the gospel. John is in prison. John is struggling. And John sends messengers to Jesus. John the Baptist sends messengers to Jesus. Are you the one who is to come, or should we wait for another? And Jesus doesn't say, shut up, John, and trust me. Jesus doesn't say, well, of course I am. You know this already. Jesus doesn't say, get your head on straight. What did Jesus say? The very important thing, I think. Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind regain their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the good news proclaimed to them. In other words, in order to understand Jesus, in order to really say, well, yeah, you are the one I thought you were, you have to think about, reflect on, chew on His works. His works and His mysteries. This is the stuff He does. This is the stuff He came to do. This is His mission. Do we spend much time reflecting on that, thinking about that, relishing that, appreciating that? And then He flips it even further. He turns to the crowds. Would you go out to the desert to see a reed swayed by the wind? Would you go out to see them? And He shows that John himself is one of the great works of God. John himself has been transformed by His saving power. John himself, who is a saint, of course. No one born of women is greater than John the Baptist, Jesus says. So He tells John's disciples, contemplate my works, and He tells the crowd, contemplate John, because John is one of my works. And dear brothers and sisters, we need to do that, I think, more. When we have times of prayer, when we go to the Lord, to not just constantly be talking about us and what we're going through and what our problems are. And look, I don't know the prayer life of everybody in this church, but I've been doing this for 16 years, and I can make a pretty shrewd guess, okay, that most of us are pretty self-absorbed when it comes to prayer. But to intentionally set aside time to say, no, let me hear, let me see, let me think about what Jesus has done, let me think about what Jesus is doing. You know, people I've worked with who pray the rosary and talk about how much trouble they have praying the rosary, one of the things that I often find is all of us, and I very much put myself in this category, all of us fail at what the rosary is really supposed to be about, which is the mysteries, not the prayers. The prayers are just there so that you have something to do while you're thinking about the mysteries, right? While you're meditating on the mysteries. And all the time, at least for me, I'm thinking about, well, I promised to pray the rosary for this person, or this is going on in there. You know, I'm not thinking about the mystery. That's the whole point of the stinking rosary, the mysteries, right? You got to think about the mysteries. And I think about how often in my own life, I'll go in the chapel, and there I am before the Lord, and I can't get out of my own anxiety or struggle or whatever. It's like a hangnail in my head. My soul becomes like a hangnail turned in on itself instead of turned outward toward Him to see and hear and think. And you know, the spiritual tradition of our church is very clear about this, that even if you're pretty advanced in the spiritual life, from time to time you need to stop and just think about what He's done. Picture it, relish it, contemplate it. There are two places where this reaches its culmination. One, and this is how I know that it's required. This is how I know it's required. This is how you should know that this is kind of activity is required and not just Father Sunset saying this. One is because it's literally what we do at Mass all year long. Okay, right. From Advent to Christmas to Lent to the Holy Triduum to Easter to Ascension to Pentecost, we're literally commanded by the Church to turn our eyes to reflect on the saving actions of the Lord. Right? And the Church has two calendars that she's running simultaneously. One is the proper of seasons, which is what I just said. The other is the proper of saints. Anybody know what we celebrate during the proper of saints? I'll give you three guesses. Saints, exactly. That's why you hear me say sometimes, oh, this date falls on a Sunday and a church, because we're running two calendars at the same time. One is about dates, one is about seasons. And so the church also does exactly what Jesus does, right? Don't just look at the cross and the resurrection and Pentecost. It is incredibly important. These are foundational. But also look at how it changed individual people's lives. Look at the saints and see that I am still at work. Look at the saints and see that I am still saving people. Look at the saints and see that my arm is not shortened nor is my power dimmed. Look at the saints and realize that this is still happening. Think about them. Relish them. Appreciate them. And don't be so turned down on yourself like a hangnail. And dear brothers and sisters, this requires real effort from us. Especially, and this is not like, oh, the world is going to, you know, poop. This is just the reality of we're all conditioned now because we live in a consumerist society that if something doesn't grab our attention immediately, I'd say we change the channel, but none of us change the channel anymore. We press pause and we go back to the Netflix menu and find something else to watch. Okay. Or if something isn't exactly like we like, we ship it back. If we're on Amazon, we're typing in the 14 different things that we want. You know this, you're doing Christmas shopping. Well, I mean, okay, the women did Christmas shopping in August, but men, you know this, you're doing Christmas shopping right now. Okay. You know how particular certain people are about certain things, right? We have to find the exact right thing. And we expect everything to just meet our very narrow definition of what's right immediately, and if not, we walk. Can't do that in a relationship. Can't do that in a relationship. You have to be patient, you have to be open, you have to be humble. You have to let people be who they are. In the same way, you can't do that in the relationship of prayer. When it comes to God, we are Christians, not consumers. We don't walk away from prayer or from the church or from our spiritual lives just because it doesn't give us what we think we want immediately. Just because it doesn't gratify our desires immediately. Just because it doesn't fit our tastes immediately. Just because it bores us. Don't raise your hand because you get in trouble, but just think inside your head. Hey, married people, has your spouse ever bored you? Ever in your marriage? Was that a reason to walk away? Some people think it is. We know how horrible that can be. And yet, how many people come to the church and expect to just be gratified? Like they're consumers instead of Christians. This is about a relationship. And a relationship, as St. James says, involves patience. Be patient, brothers and sisters, until the coming of the Lord. Be patient. Make your hearts firm. It requires real effort to focus on something that's not ourselves. To focus on someone who our eyes can't see and our ears can't hear and our fingers can't touch. To really spend time thinking about his works, even though we're like, well, I know this happened already. But we need to do it. And in this Advent season, I challenge you to do it. And I'm going to challenge you to do one of three things, which will pick up on a point that I realized that I forgot to make the second point of earlier. Okay, number one, I challenge you to do this in these 11 days left in Advent. Take the Apostles' Creed and pull it apart bit by bit and just spend all day meditating on one bit of it. What does it mean? I mean, it's the summary of our faith. What does it mean? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. What does that mean? Two, I encourage you, and never encourage you not to pray the rosary. You should pray the rosary. But I encourage you at a separate time, maybe just spend a little bit of time thinking about the mysteries of the rosary and just asking Mary to help you understand them without even praying the prayers in between. Just so that we can get locked in on what's going on. Just say, Blessed Mother, look, I'm trying to understand these things. I want to meditate on these things. I'm just going to ask you to stand by me as just in my head I spend 5-10 minutes with these mysteries as I go through. And the last one is a big one. It's what I forgot to mention earlier. I talked about the liturgy. The other thing that we need to look at, without always trying to twist it to be about us or what inspires us, is the Bible. To sit with the Bible, to read the Bible, to let the Word of God speak on its own terms. To think about what God is saying, what God has done, what God has revealed. To let our hearts be shaped by that as we await the coming of the Lord on Christmas Day. And so, dear brothers and sisters, that's my challenge to you this weekend. Be a good date. Don't turn everything to be about yourself. But when we pray, spend at least some time letting God be God and appreciating Him for who He is. God bless you all.